Let's move on to agenda item number six.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, item number six is for the board to have a discussion with the prosecution team about how to proceed with future enforcement actions, and this includes the seven remaining outstanding cease and desist orders, the draft orders that were issued by the prosecution team, and all other residents within the prohibition zone. And to present this item actually will be Harvey Packard this time.
Thank you, Michael. My name is Harvey Packard, and I will be presenting item number six, talking about individual enforcement action alternatives for Los Osos. First, want to review some of the enforcement actions that the board has already taken and some of the other things that have brought us to this point today. In August 2005, the CSD began construction of a wastewater collection and treatment system. In September 2005, a new CSD majority was elected, and in October 2005, the CSD stopped construction of the wastewater treatment plant. In January 2006, the Water Board ordered the CSD to pay $6.6 million for violating its time schedule order. Staff initiated individual enforcement efforts in January 2006 when we sent draft cease and desist orders to 45 property owners in the prohibition zone. Since that time, about half of those parties have signed settlement agreements. The board has adopted several cease and desist orders, and seven proposed orders of the 45 remain unresolved. In March 2007, staff sent notices of violation to all property owners in the prohibition zone, warning them of upcoming individual enforcement actions for the whole community. Lastly, in April 2007, the State Water Resources Control Board dismissed petitions of the cease and desist orders brought by several designated and interested parties. I also want to review the status of the county's project and their efforts to get a wastewater system built. The county is reviewing now various alternatives for collection systems, treatment, the technologies, disposal, and locations. The county has produced a rough screening report which reviews many potential alternatives. The county is now working on a fine screening report which will narrow the alternatives down to three projects. The report is due to be released in draft in the next few weeks. The county is also established a technical advisory committee to collect and provide community input, and which has been commenting on the screening report. Water Board staff has been attending technical advisory committee meetings. The county is working on securing funding for the project. The county expects to approve a benefits assessment by the end of this year. The county is also aggressively going after grants at state and federal levels. The Federal House of Representatives recently took the first steps towards appropriating a $35 million grant for Los Osos. As part of that process, just recently, Congressman Pete Visglowski of Indiana, chairman of the Energy and Water Subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee, along with Congresswoman Capps and several others, visited Los Osos to get a first-hand view of the situation. Water Board staff was also involved in that visit. Water Board staff continues to work with county staff. We support the county process and are optimistic that it will succeed. It's a picture of Allison Dominguez of our staff with the congressman and congresswoman viewing an aerial photo of Los Osos prior to their walk out across the mud flats to observe some groundwater seeps. This was April 12th. And here's a picture of the Tribune from the following day. It shows Allison barely keeping Ms. Capps out of the mud. She almost fell. I'll now discuss the proposed cleanup and abatement order, which was included in your staff report, and which we are recommended be issued to all property owners in the prohibition zone. First of all, I want to clarify that no cleanup and abatement orders are being issued today. This is an informational hearing. We're certainly interested in any feedback the board might have, but the board is not taking any action today, and there's nothing petitionable that results from this agenda item. The requirements of the proposed cleanup and abatement order are very similar to those found in the cease and desist orders that the board has already adopted. First, the cleanup order requires that property owners hook up to a community wastewater system within 60 days of its availability. I want to point out that the orders do not put a schedule or a deadline for completion of the wastewater treatment facility. As long as the county process is moving forward, there is no deadline in these orders to stop discharge from septic systems. However, there is a discharge cessation date in the orders that is triggered if the county does not secure funding by July 1st, 2008. And that date would also be triggered if, for some reason beyond its control, the county stopped work on the wastewater treatment plant. The orders also require interim maintenance of septic systems, similar to the requirements of the cease and desist orders. As we've already gone over, I think, pretty clearly today, the cease and desist orders and the proposed cleanup and abatement orders, neither of them have automatic enforcement provisions. A separate additional board hearing and process is required to take enforcement actions for violations of either order. I'd like also to dismiss some of the other misconceptions and rumors that we've heard about the proposed orders. Cease and desist orders and cleanup and abatement orders do not constitute liens on individual properties. The prosecution team does not intend to enter individual properties to do any cleanup work, to spend any money to perform any cleanup or construction, and then bill individuals subject to those orders to recover costs. Mr. Dugan mentioned that the Water Code does give the Water Board authority to do those things. I'm stating categorically now that the prosecution staff does not intend to take any of those actions and does not recommend to the Board that it do so either. People want to know what will happen if the January 1st, 2011 cessation date in the orders is triggered. Again, it is only triggered if the county doesn't secure funding by July 1st, 2008, or if progress on the county project stops. If this occurs, parties will have until January 1st, 2011, or 2 years after the work stoppage, to find a way to completely stop discharging from their septic systems, or they will be in violation of the order. As we've already gone over today, people already are in violation of the prohibition. Being in violation of the cleanup order as well would subject them to additional liability, which the board could impose if it were to go through the process of issuing penalties. There's nothing in these orders that contemplates forcing people from their homes. Before staff issues any cleanup and abatement orders, we're proposing that individuals be given the option of agreeing to a settlement. The settlement agreement is also a cleanup and abatement order, but one with less stringent requirements. The proposed settlement agreement that you have in your agenda package includes a recommendation to cap potential penalties at $100 per day. We came up with that number independent of the discussion you had this morning. We're willing to further discuss if that's the correct number. The settlement order allows 3 years to perform the interim maintenance requirements rather than 2 years, which the unilateral order requires. The settlement order allows the executive officer to extend due dates, and it also requires that board staff meet with affected parties prior to taking enforcement or prior to recommending enforcement of violations of the order. Our intent is that every resident and property owner in the prohibition zone will be subject to a cleanup and abatement order. Individuals can agree to the milder, voluntary settlement order, or staff can issue the more stringent unilateral order. Our proposal is to begin the cleanup and abatement order process by sending both a voluntary settlement order and a draft unilateral order to all property owners in the prohibition zone. If the property owner signs and returns the voluntary settlement order, staff will not issue the unilateral order. If a party wants to contest the draft order, the party will have a designated amount of time to submit written legal, technical, and factual arguments. The board advisory team will review the arguments and issue the unilateral order or other ruling. If the party does not respond within the designated time, the board advisory team will issue the unilateral order. That's one potential process that I've described there. There are several other variations of that process or other ways that we could issue cease and desist orders. For instance, prosecution staff could issue signed, effective cleanup and abatement orders right away. You have a supplemental sheet with copies of some written comments we've received. I think I've responded to most of those comments in my presentation already. You also have a second supplemental sheet with a copy of a letter from the local air pollution control district. Let me get the right name there. Supplemental sheet includes our response to the air district's comments. We believe our analysis of the environmental review is appropriate, but regardless, the Water Board doesn't need to resolve this issue today because the Water Board is not taking any action regarding this item. Water Board staff will ensure that all applicable environmental requirements are satisfied before issuing any staff-level orders. Second supplemental sheet also includes a letter from the County Board of Supervisors, which they adopted just this Tuesday at their meeting. The county is asking that we not issue individual enforcement orders at this time. Their arguments include that enforcement has the potential to distract the community, that it could raise concerns about the perception of electioneering, that it could increase the likelihood of litigation, and that the Water Board has already shown a clear intent to pursue enforcement. The prosecution team has discussed the county's points among ourselves and with the county staff, including Supervisor Gibson. Without attempting to rebut those arguments, we'd like you to consider some additional factors. The individual enforcement process has already started. The board has been at this decision point or similar decision points like this several times in the past. How many times should we say, okay, we'll allow one more chance? The other day, as we were reviewing some material from the 1988 where the board established the prohibition or imposed the prohibition, at that time, over 19 years ago, the board indicated that it wanted individual enforcement. As demonstrated by the continued absence of a wastewater plant, previous enforcement efforts or lack of enforcement efforts have not been successful. It's clear to us that these orders are necessary to make it clear that it is the individuals who are ultimately responsible for this situation, not the county, not the old CSD, not the new CSD. Property owners, businesses, and residents are the ones discharging in violation of the prohibition. In the public comment period today, you'll hear that our proposed actions will be characterized as counterproductive, undermining, distracting, not honoring AB 2701, and electioneering. You'll be asked to give the county a chance to respect AB 2701 and many other arguments that miss the point. The Water Board's actions do not have to interfere with or distract the community from the county's process. The county will keep working toward its goals with our full support. These actions could, in fact, reinforce the county's process. The prosecution team acknowledges that a new process has been put into place by AB 2701, and we want that process to succeed. At the same time, we understand that the new process is in its early stage. There are many steps that need to be completed before a functioning wastewater treatment system is built, which will address the illegal discharges in the prohibition zone. We also believe that the community needs to know that the Water Board will pursue appropriate enforcement activities to ensure that illegal discharges cease. While it may or may not be true that local agencies have failed so far to develop a reasonable alternative to the use of septic systems, the law is clear. Each owner and user of an on-site septic system is ultimately responsible for compliance with the law and liable for the consequences of any noncompliance. The goal of these enforcement actions, as with any enforcement actions, is compliance. We want to make certain that the residents and property owners are informed that they are in violation of the Basin Plan prohibition. They are informed on the consequences of continued noncompliance and that they have a clear deadline for addressing that violation. How they address the violation is up to them. Certainly, support of a community wastewater collection and treatment system would be the most practical way to address the violations on a community-wide basis. These orders do not compel any specific manner of compliance. We are addressing an often stated concern that the Water Board hasn't told the community what it expects from them with regard to the Basin Plan discharge prohibition. To those who argue that the community be given one more chance to address their illegal septic system discharges. We say that this is that one more chance. The proposed enforcement actions do not require immediate cessation of the use of septic systems, which arguably could be imposed at this time. Instead, consistent with earlier orders and agreements, the prosecution team has proposed a deadline for discharge that does not go into effect for several years and does not go into effect at all if the county process succeeds in providing a concrete community-wide solution for replacing the septic system discharges. If these orders are not complied with, then the appropriate punitive and injunctive measures will be imposed. Not now, but at a later date. One last point about the county's letter. Regardless of what results from this meeting, I suggest we take the county up on their offer of coming to a board meeting and providing a presentation on the status of the wastewater collection system. I think the appropriate meeting would be September here in San Luis Obispo. In summary, our recommendation today is that you hold the final seven cease and desist order hearings. This is a process the board laid out and described over the last year for which the designated parties have prepared, and the process should be completed. However, if the board decides not to hold these last seven hearings, we are prepared to include those parties in the cleanup and abatement orders. We also propose that the board concur with the process for administrative cleanup and abatement orders that I've described today. Thank you very much, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Harvey, how would you deal with the previously issued cease and desist orders as having been one enforcement mechanism versus going down a path now with cleanup abatement orders and the perception that one group is being treated differently?
Well, I think since the requirements of the orders are essentially the same, we are treating them the same. It is a different vehicle authorized under a different section of the water code, but the requirements are essentially the same.
Would you keep the previously issued cease and desist orders in effect?
Yes.
Okay. Did you meet with Supervisor Gibson?
Yes, twice last week.
Twice. Well, I'm curious what he has to say about.
Well, it's basically stated in his letter there.
Yeah. When's the Prop 218 vote scheduled to take place?
Later in the fall through the winter, October and November, I believe, is the current schedule.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Press.
Harvey, on page 3 of the proposed CAO under A, cessation of discharge number 2, this has to do with, in the event that either the county is not successful in approving a benefits assessment by July 1st, 2008, et cetera, et cetera. It's not clear to me in this paragraph whether the trigger is all funding or no funding. You mentioned that the Congress was contemplating in the Appropriations Committee was contemplating a grant of $35 million, which is not enough to fund a wastewater treatment plant, but it's a sizable chunk.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine that in the current budget cycle, completed by the end of the summer, that the Congress folds that into some appropriations bill, passes the bill, it gets signed. These days, I don't know about Congress and the President signing anything. But anyway, so if that $35 million is on the table and the 218 vote does not pass, how do you propose that we would understand this language? An argument could be made, unless you read it differently, that the funding could be cobbled together from sources other than 218, but you've got that language in here, so.
Right. In fact, it's likely, I think, that a successful 218 vote, even that wouldn't be sufficient to complete the whole project. There will be other funding sources necessary.
Okay.
So what we're looking for here is not necessarily full, complete funding identified and in place, but either a successful benefits assessment or some other type of funding that will assure us that it's going to happen.
I think the community wants to understand what the bright lines are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a July 1st, 2008 date in here. There's a January 2011 date. If I were a resident, I would want to know what constitutes progress so that I knew that we were going to be okay or that we should be worried about the January 2011 date. So are you proposing constitutes progress? If the congressman manages to get $35 million for the county in this budget cycle and nothing happens for the following year, is that considered progress? What are the benchmarks? What are the bright lines so that people really know what's going on? I would want to know.
Right. We added that phrase about or in obtaining alternative financing so that it wouldn't be limited to just a benefits assessment. But realistically, I doubt there's another way that will successfully fund the county project.
Right, but money begets money. So if you get a little bit of money, then sometimes you can get more money later.
In fact, most of the grants, I'm sure, will be contingent on the benefits assessment passing.
Okay. So are you saying that regardless of how much the community or the county raises independent outside of the benefits assessment, if the benefits assessment is not passed, that constitutes cessation or no progress?
I wouldn't say no matter how much, but I'd say it would be a pretty difficult job to convince us they had financing other than a benefits assessment if the assessment didn't get approved.
But by when? I mean, you could be cobbling together $30, $40, $50 million over the next 18 months outside of the benefit assessment.
Mm-hmm.
A vote could go forward. It could fail. Another vote could be scheduled. What if there's a stream of contingent grants that are coming together for the next round? I mean, I'm just trying to get a sense of how when the boom lowers.
Right. Preferably, we'd have a schedule that the county would provide that would have all sorts of potential milestones and deadlines. This is the only one we can identify at this point. That's the only one that they have put a schedule on and can say this is an important milestone that must be met. So I agree. We'd like to have a better idea of what sorts of milestones we could, put in orders like these.
Okay, so you can't think of any language that you might add to that section?
Well,
certainly we can add, there's a number of things that we can consider if your concern is about some ambiguity regarding the alternative financing. I mean, I think what we're looking for is some indication that the project will, in fact, continue, that the county doesn't walk, that we don't have, nothing going forward.
Right.
And so
I agree
that we can put a little bit more detail into that alternative financing concept. What we wanted to do is now to advise the community that the benefits assessment isn't the only thing that we would want to look at to see whether or not they are on track for some kind of successful implementation of a community system. So if, in fact, you believe that alternative financing provision needs some improvement, we can certainly work on that. But the concept, I mean, if you folks are at least fine with the concept, and then we can
work on that. Well, I like the concept, but I'd like to see more bright lines in there, more detail, more oomph. Anyway.
One of the options that we talked about, it actually has less of a bright line, but it's a different way to approach it, is to remove all the language about the benefits assessment and financing altogether and just say if the county process fails as determined by the board, then this deadline comes into place. That way we don't tie it to any specific deadline, but if we get to a point as a prosecution team where we get to the opinion that the project's dead, we'd come to the board and say, it appears that work has ceased and this project is not going to come to pass, therefore start the two-year clock.
Yeah, I think that just because you've asked for you're asking not for an action item here, but for feedback. So the principle that I'm articulating here is, I think, one that we're all sharing. The board has an interest in making sure that progress is going forward. The community has an interest in knowing what its compliance status is. So those two have to be satisfied simultaneously. That's the principle I'm trying to articulate. Now, how it exactly works out, I'm not sure, but I'm trying to articulate that principle.
Any other board questions?
Chairman Young.
Yes.
I just need a little clarification. On the Blakesley bill, the way it's written, the only funds that will not be available to the community sewer district are state revolving funds or any funds from the state until the original loan is repaid. Is that correct?
When the governor signed the bill, he included a signing message which directed the state board not to issue a state revolving fund loan for this project, even if it was the county in charge of the project, until the remaining $6 million were repaid from the previous loan.
Okay.
Well, yes, Mr. Hodgson.
Question for Board's counsel. To what extent do we have authority to require something of the county? Can we set deadlines that the county must comply with? What's our authority here?
In this context, the board is not regulating the county. The board is using the county's progress as a measure of compliance, or as a measure of as a condition of forbearance for further enforcement action by the regional board against the individuals. So the board can set whatever deadlines however it wants to set. If the county meets them, then then no further enforcement action would be taken, and everybody goes forward in the hope that the project succeeds. If the county fails to meet these deadlines, then the consequences do not fall on the county, because the county is not the subject of enforcement action at this time. The consequences would be that the members of the community would be in greater jeopardy than they are.
Mr. Hodgson, when I met with Supervisor Gibson last week, I asked him if the county would be willing to enter into a voluntary enforceable agreement with the Water Board with a schedule in it, instead of the board issuing individual enforcement orders. He was understandably noncommittal. I doubt their legal counsel would be too enthusiastic about it.
And the other wrinkle to this, Mr. Hodgson, is that the county has not agreed to even take the project yet. So they're kind of working on this on the side, and I think that they have to see what happens with the Prop 218 vote before they make that decision.
Well, what's going through my head is, to how do we get to the end product? I think we, the citizens of Los Osos, need to quickly get to the point where they can have the quiet enjoyment of a pollution-free community. And that's what the focus of all our efforts should be. And I guess I'm not being an attorney. I'm a little frustrated with all the legalities, and I have no interest in punishing anybody. I just want to get the job done.
Well, even the lawyers are frustrated. So there just isn't an easy, solution to this. But Dr. Press.
Yeah, one more thing. In your staff report, you've and in your presentation, you recommended changing the maximum potential penalty to $100 per day. So I would ask what you thought about our prior action at trying to move it down to $30 a day. That's one question. Second is, my read of 13.350 was that there was a mandatory minimum in the CAOs that doesn't exist in the CDOs, although that can be relaxed. So
was that the $500?
Yeah.
And then subsection F, I believe, referred to getting around that by making specific findings that we went through.
Right. So
economic hardship,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff, ability to pay.
Right. And so the question was, you know, how would you propose? Are you going to propose making findings that would go lower than that mandatory minimum? I mean, because I don't see findings.
Actually, that clause was included in the original settlement agreement, I believe. Isn't that right, Reed?
Yes.
For the cease and desist orders, it does include a finding which recommends that the board make those findings in any future enforcement actions.
Okay. You don't, just as a matter of principle, one would not want to set mandatory minima. I can see maxima, but not minima. Anyway.
Yeah, it's our position that recommending caps in the language that you talked about this morning more appropriately belongs in the voluntary order or the settlement order, because it's more of an incentive for people to go with that option. I don't have a problem reducing that $100 number down to $30 or even lower in the settlement order and some other number in the unilateral order that would be issued by staff.
Dr. Press, I point out that the settlement agreement that has been approved by the board and has been entered into between the prosecution and various parties also includes the stipulation that the $500 minimum would not be applicable to enforcement of the settlement agreement.
Thank you. Right, yes. And to the extent we thought that we had taken care of it in the proposed settlement CAOs in this round, but if we find that that is seems to be unclear, we would include that same language.
Okay. Mr. Thomas, did you have a comment?
Mr. Packer, could you go back to the slide where the slide of the stipulated order? Yeah. But we're using different terms when we talk about this. All of us are. Sometimes we say clean abatement order. Sometimes we say cease and desist order. Sometimes settlement agreement. Sometimes stipulated order. And hopefully to clarify that, what you're proposing to do, or what the prosecution team is proposing to do, is issue two cleanup and abatement orders. One of them is a settlement agreement or a stipulated order. We're using different terms to describe the same thing. They're both cleanup and abatement orders, correct?
That's correct. They're both cleanup and abatement orders. We're referring to one as a voluntary settlement order with the milder provisions, and the other as the unilateral order.
Okay, now, we've had this discussion during a previous item about having a cap, a preferred cap, where this board prefers the cap. And we discussed what the limitations would be on that as far as limitations on future boards. It is your intent to make these two orders that you're going to send out quite different. One is going to be significantly more lenient than the other. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it would be the discharger's option of choosing which one.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any more questions by the board of the prosecution team? We've got about 37 speaker cards to go through. But what I was going to propose to you is just give you my sense for the topics that we need to kind of discuss after we hear from the public, and then try to give the prosecution team some idea as to whether we concur with their proposal. So the first item on my list would be what we think about cleanup and abatement orders as an enforcement tool versus anything else they put in the staff report. The second item would be some discussion about, well, tying up the idea of caps and what we think about that. The third thing would be a discussion about timing. We've got the supervisor's letter in our packet, and we have the prosecution team's recommendation. I think maybe that they're going to go forward at some point in time in the near future. And then I want to address what we might do, if anything, then to any prior CDOs that we may want to revisit and add some specific finding language to. And then I think that would kind of tie up, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Sato, kind of the overall discussion of what the board thinks about what you may do.
I think we also need some direction from the board as to what to do with the outstanding seven proposed CDOs.
Oh, yes, you're right.
And Mr. Chair, I have a question about
yes.
that. Has the prosecution team talked to the outstanding seven on if they had any preference?
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So that's my list. We have 39 cards now. What's that? Well, what's the board? What's the sense of the board? I mean, we've got about 40 cards.
Okay.
3 minutes each is 2 hours plus all of the transition time that
two
goes
minutes.
In. What's that?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Does the board feel 2 minutes is appropriate? Not at this time. Dr. Press? Any sense?
I don't know. I mean, we've been using 3 minutes. I think we should stick with 3 minutes since we have been in the past.
Mr. Hodgkin?
Well, I surely think everybody should have adequate time, but perhaps we could get people to try not to repeat things that have already been said, and we could shorten the time that way.
That doesn't work. Yeah, they should. Right. And the gentleman that spoke up, who are you?
My name's Lawson Schaller. It's something the county does when they get a lot of requests to speak, is they say, anyone that can make their point in 1 minute, please come first. Anyone that can do it in 2 minutes, please come first. So those that are prepared really need 3 minutes and then take the 3 minutes. Suggestion.
Okay. Thank you for the suggestion. Okay. Yeah. Do we have any government agency individuals that want to address the board? Okay. Let's take those first. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to split things at 2.5 minutes. And how do we read? Okay. All right. So we'll do it at 3. And identify yourself, please.
My name is Sherry Espero. It's spelled Cherie. The last name is AIS. P as in Paul, URO. I'm the legislative assistant to Supervisor Bruce Gibson. Supervisor Gibson and Pavel Ogren, who's a project manager for the Los Osos Sewer Project, are unable to be here today, and they send their regrets. They have long outstanding commitments, and that took them to Sacramento. I'm here to formally present you with the letter that the Board of Supervisors approved on Tuesday. And I would also like to reinforce the county's offer to give the board a full presentation on the current efforts regarding the Los Osos Sewer. And I know that your board will have many questions, and unfortunately, I probably won't be able to answer them. But I have our business cards on here with our email addresses, and we'll be more than happy to answer them. Supervisor Gibson will answer them for you. Thank you.
Is there anyone else from who can talk? Miss? Hello?
Miss Espero, was there anyone else?
Is there anyone else from the county
who
can speak on this?
No, I'm the only one here from the county.
Okay, because, you know, I'm really interested in exploring this issue a little more. But unfortunately, the county's not here to answer my questions.
I know that you asked what Supervisor Gibson, how he felt, and the letter is exactly how he feels.
I know, but we have questions about it. We want to, on some of the issues. And so it's really hard for us to, you know, sort of rule on something or give our view on it if we can't ask those important questions. For someone to just drop a letter and say, we want you to do X, and not be able to sort of enter a discussion with them, is not very helpful.
I understand that.
So, because I really would like to explore this a little more. Unfortunately, there's no one here. So, that also sort of indicates the level of commitment from the county on this issue to me.
The county is very committed to Los Osos and to the sewer project.
No, I understand that. Their commitment to what their letter says. So.
If they could have been here, they would have been here.
If they would, yeah.
And part of the problem, I think, that Board Member Shallcross is trying to communicate is that we can't meet with people outside of this forum. So this would be our opportunity to talk to Supervisor Gibson and ask questions. But he can't call us on the phone. We can't call him. And so, you know, we lose that time in getting some of our questions answered. But anyway, I take at face value that he had a commitment and that he would have been here if he could have been. And so thank you for providing this letter to us.
Okay.
And I'm sure that we will set time on the agenda for September. I understand, I think, from the letter that you wanted some larger venue. And so staff should try to accommodate that request. And I don't know, we may need a special date for that. I mean, I don't know how much time the county is going to want, and I don't know what our agenda looks like for September.
So what's our next meet?
The next meeting is up north.
People have cars. People from here go up north all the time.
Yeah.
People up north come down here.
Okay.
So maybe someone could be at our next meeting.
And the date on that is?
Mr. Thomas.
July 7th.
Yeah, the next meeting is July, and it is up north. And I imagine a lot of people from Los Osos would like to hear
that discussion. That's why they were talking about the one in September, so that the folks could be here.
Okay, but if you're wanting us to do something about not going forward with enforcement.
We'll be there.
No.
July 7th.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just suggesting that maybe someone should, and maybe our staff can be in touch with you folks.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for the letter and your comments. Melissa Guys? No, this is it. I'm going right to. And then we have a number of people from the Los Osos CSD.
Good afternoon.
Melissa. Good afternoon.
Sorry. My name is Melissa Guys, and I'm with the Air Pollution Control District. I'm an air quality specialist there, and I work in the planning department. I'd like to thank the board for giving us the opportunity to speak today, and also, as Mr. Harvey Packard noted, we have submitted written comment. We reviewed the documents, the cleanup and abatement order, and the associated voluntary settlement order, and have the following comments, specifically regarding pumping of the septic tanks and the potential air quality impacts. The septic tank pumping activities as proposed in the current cleanup and abatement order and settlement orders would greatly reduce the number of pump outs per day as compared to the cease and desist orders that were issued last year in 2006. However, as the documents are structured requiring initial septic tank pumping every 2 to 3 years and 3 years thereafter, there's no way of knowing how many septic tank pump outs will occur in a given day. If the pumping is spread out evenly over the course of 3 years, the impacts would be different than if they were condensed down to a very short time period in the event that people put it off until the last minute, which who knows if that would happen or not. The APCC staff is concerned with potential air quality impacts and odor associated with the pumping, especially the potential health risks from the exposure to the diesel particulate matter that could be associated with operation of diesel equipment. Based on a screening level health risk assessment that we did in-house, The proposed pumping of 4,000 septic tanks over the course of 3 years has the potential to reach 80% of our significance threshold of 10 in a million excess cancer risk. As this is only looking at the actual operation of the vacuum truck, if there's any other diesel-powered equipment that might be associated with the work, use of backhoes, excavators, trenches, any of that type of activity could add on to the exposure or the amount of diesel that's produced. Also, as I said earlier, if it happens in a shorter period of time, the exposure could be greater than if it's spread out evenly over the course of a 3-year period. So regardless of the potential scenario on the exposure to the diesel, an exceedance of the threshold could be avoided simply by putting controls on the diesel equipment operates in the area. To ensure and protect the public health, the Air District strongly recommends the Water Board require the following mitigation measures in the proposed septic tank pump-out section or project. The mitigation measures that we would recommend are installing diesel particulate filters on the vacuum trucks. Any diesel equipment that operates in the area, we would recommend that they maintain the equipment properly, that they use ultra-low sulfur diesel, they limit the activities in close proximity to sensitive receptors like schools and daycare centers, limit idling, and use 1996 or newer equipment. Also, we would request that they develop some kind of septic tank pump-out plan so that it wouldn't all happen within a short period of time. The other item that we're concerned about, I guess, is odors. Odors can be a major source of from when you're pumping out septic systems. So we recommend that an odor control plan be developed and installation of carbon filters on the trucks to reduce odor potential. If there is no plan implemented, nuisance odors could be complaints could be a problem, and at which point then we would be restricted or that would trigger our nuisance rule 402, which does give us some limited authority to try to address the potential odor or whatever complaints we would be receiving. So I guess just to summarize, we feel that if mitigation measures are implemented, their health risk would be mitigated and would not require any further action. I guess we believe that if that is not the case and any mitigation measures aren't implemented, then there could be a potential health risk to the residents in San Luis.
Can't you do that? Your agency do that on its own? I mean, the pumping regime that's proposed is kind of the standard of care anyway when you own a septic tank. So how do you know that most people aren't doing this already?
Well, currently we haven't seen any data that indicates what is being done currently. Generally, diesel particulate filters aren't required at this particular point in time. The Air Resources Board has issued a number of air toxic control measures that will ultimately require diesel particulate filters on trucks, but that's been kind of phased in over the course of a number of years. So it's not currently being required for that type of on-road truck. As far as our authority to be able to require something, they are mobile sources. Our agency, as a local county agency, doesn't have the authority to regulate mobile sources. The only way that we have been successful in getting any kind of mitigation like this to be implemented, and we do it all the time in construction projects, is to go through the CEQA review process, in which case then the lead agency will include it in the conditions of approval or the mitigations that are associated with an EIR.
Which is what we don't have.
Which is what we don't have.
With a mobile source. But, Mr. Richards, does the board have authority to require pumping trucks to put on filters or any device to treat air?
I'm not aware of that ever having been done. I don't think that it does. In prescribing mitigation for projects, an agency can only do what it has the authority to do. CEQA does not give an agency authority beyond that which is granted to it by its authorizing statutes. Typically, what would happen in an environmental impact document addressing this kind of situation is that the lead agency would identify potentially significant impacts, if there are any, would identify potential mitigation measures, if there are any, and would note that those mitigation measures were within the authority of some other agency.
But we're not dealing with CEQA with these proposed future orders.
No, typically, so typically, cleanup and abatement orders and cease and desist orders are exempt from CEQA because
right.
they're actions that are being taken to protect natural resources or the environment.
Hmm. Well, okay. Thank you for your comments, and staff will just have to, you know, respond to that in the due course of business. But I don't know if there's anything we can do about that. You regulate air quality, so I would think you're in a much stronger position to do something about that. I don't know how we would do that.
Yeah, I guess our position then would be that without any kind of mitigation, that there are potential air quality impacts that could be significant.
Yeah, and they may be there right now.
Yeah.
And your agency doesn't know that. I mean, there's an assumption being made that people are not trying to do the right thing and are not pumping out, and that there would be some huge increase. And I don't know that that's true, and I don't know that it isn't true.
Yeah, I don't know either, and
yeah.
I'm not nearly suggesting that they aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
I'm merely suggesting that there probably aren't 4,000 people out there that are going to be pumping them out over the next year
yeah.
voluntarily. I mean,
right.
that's just an assumption, but
right.
but thank you
okay.
for your time. I
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Okay. Lisa Schicker, then Chuck Cicena, and then Steve Sennett.
Chuck's for the board.
Are you not
speaking? Yes, I am.
You're up, Ms. Schicker.
Okay. Sorry. Lisa Schicker, LOCSD and Los Osos resident. Your action, just some points for consideration this morning. Tagging onto the air quality there, your action by adopting this CAO is a project. You are, you should be evaluating under CEQA. It doesn't mean it's an EIR. But it, you still need to evaluate under CEQA. Please consider 8313, adopted based on a build-out of 30,000 people. We're never going to get 30,000 people in Los Osos. Your past board and the county's past board allowed 1,100 more homes to be built. Please consider that while you're considering adopting CAOs based on 8313. The CSD has requested the amendment to the Basin Plan in 8313, as Mr. Young suggested to me, and we have a letter. Next, the lack of science in regional water board decisions. May I quote from your own report produced at the State Water Board, where I'm not going to be able to find it quickly, where the lack of science was acknowledged at the regional water board level. I can get you the exact quotation and the page number. Where is your scientific review panel and peer review for making scientific decisions that you base your CAOs and other decisions on? It's just, it was your internal report. It recommended that you get better science because you don't have it. I also encourage that. The three laws to consider: electioneering, the Whistleblower Act, and CEQA. Electioneering. From the Elections Code 18540, every person who makes use or threatens to make use of any force, violence, or tactic of coercion or intimidation to induce or compel any person to vote or refrain from voting in any election, etc., etc., etc. Please consider that code. The Whistleblower Act protects any citizen or state employee, which there are many state employees who live in Los Osos, have the right and responsibility to report any activity undertaken by a government agency or an employee that does a bunch of things that are not in consideration here today, but it includes coercion and any activity that is economically wasteful. How much money has this cost all of us? So those are two things. That's in Government Code Section 9149. Finally, I've said this before and I still believe this. We should be working together. The county's going forward on the process. The CSD is supporting the process. Why in the world would you do this now? Why would you do this now? This is not helpful. We have to all focus together on working towards a project and a solution. You are distracting the issue. I hear it for 3 to 4 hours a night at my board meetings. You are distracting the issue. Please work with us. You have the tools. You have the abilities. Please. There's a different tactic that you can take, and I saw some evidence of it today, and I'm very encouraged. There's some of you who must believe that there's a better way to go about this process.
Thank you for your
Thank
comment,
you very much.
Ms. Shecker. Chuck Cesena.
Good afternoon, Board. My name is Chuck Cesena, currently serving as the president of the Los Osos Community Services District. I urge everyone in the audience to pull out your checkbook or cash for AGP video, because once again, it's the community that's having to pay for the videotaping of these proceedings so that people who could not be here know what's going on. Apparently, the Water Board has money for prosecutions, but not to disseminate that information. I want to thank you, though, for clearly spelling out the fact that the settlement offer is a cleanup and abatement order. It's not just a settlement. I'm still not convinced that it is the same as a CDO. It seems to me that there are differences in hearing appeal rights and that sort of thing. And I think that is something people need to be clearly aware of. I urge you to adopt the APCD's mitigation measures. Your project nearly triggered a significance finding from that board, and that was without a cumulative impact assessment. To assume that everyone pumps every 3 years, I think, is erroneous, and I'm not even sure it could be classified as the right thing to do. The right thing to do is keep your tank operating properly. A low number of people that have ever lived in my house meant that I didn't pump for 19 years, and it was still operating properly at that time. So your baseline may be flawed. 2701 was passed by the state legislature. It encouraged your board to stand down on the enforcement actions against individuals at the time. I wish you would consider that. My real fear is that you're ensuring delay by giving individuals an opportunity to claim electioneering that they're being coerced into voting for an assessment vote. It is a real concern. I'm already hearing rumblings about it. What if we get a successful 218 and then someone files a lawsuit because they were coerced? I think it's a real concern that it is of mine. I want this process over with. I want a project in the ground. The majority of the community does. We don't want anything done that could lead to another delay, and that's very real. The county is the best hope for the quickest process, it's thought. There are other avenues. We have a private company who wants to bring in $100 million of private financing right now. They would start building in 2 months. So that's an option that our board, I think, has to proceed investigating, because our own due diligence, if the 218 doesn't pass, we need to have something ready to go so that we don't have to be here again for more enforcement actions. And lastly, I'm concerned that enforcement actions against individuals, when they don't have a system to hook up to by using cleanup and abatement orders, which I think are meant for commercial enterprises, that kind of thing, just distracts or is possibly harmful to your own credibility and abilities to carry out your very necessary goals of protecting clean water. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Cesena. Mr. Sennett? Steve Sennett? Not here? Okay. Right. All right. Okay. James Tkach? And then Marlene McQueen and Chris Alavi.
Good afternoon. The cleanup and abatement orders and cease and desist orders, I left language back in my seat, say that they're trying to force property owners to comply with a discharge prohibition, either individually or as a community. I have conversed with staff informally and asked them if I asked them what 5 plans would they allow me to build as an individual so I could start researching, come forward in order to comply with the discharge order. They said that they would not give me specific systems that that's beyond their purview. It's up to me to hire an engineer and bring you a work plan for an engineered system and either approve or deny it. Mm-hmm. And we could go through that process until I'm bankrupt. Yet, in the cease and desist orders, claim and abatement orders, say you have the opportunity to comply either as an individual or as a community. I stand here before you today saying I'm willing to comply tomorrow if I can put my own system in the ground, because I'm not at all confident of the ability for the county to pass a 218 vote or for that 218 vote not to be challenged and timelines not met. I would like to comply. I like the idea of a community system for flush and forget, but when you look at energy usage, water shortages, and things like that, the idea of an on-site system is somewhat appealing to me. So put yourselves in my position. I'm forced to go with this thing and hope that a government entity that has failed twice before to get a system in the ground is able to do so, or I'm held personally accountable by fines on my property, yet I can't get an answer out of staff as to what I can do as an individual other than put a 10,000-gallon tank in my yard, and when it fills up, pump it out. You know, I thought, well, I'll just put a porta-potty in the front yard and then use that. But with zero discharge, I can't even use my shower or my sinks. So my $30-a-day fine, $900 a month, I'd use that towards renting an apartment in San Luis Obispo before I pay the fines and just abandon the property until something is built. So you've put us in quite a position where those of us that would like to comply tomorrow are unable to do so because of lack of ability to put in an individual system or even recommend. I'm not a wastewater engineer. I don't have time to go research all that. I've got a whole page of stuff. I realize you guys don't have time for that. But my point is if the county system fails, we need to have a backup way to go. Living in the community that is environmentally conscious and socially responsible that I live in, I think having an on-site system would be a plus for my property. I think a lot of people out there, my neighbors, would love to have a property like that, generate the waste and reuse the wastewater right on site. I mean, as far as energy costs, usage, not hauling sludge to Santa Maria, it makes a lot of sense. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ms. McQueen.
Good afternoon, board members and audience. I'm Marlene McQueen, a resident of Los Osos. First of all, we want a sewer system as soon as an affordable system is laid before us. However, we cannot jeopardize our homes by voting on a 218 if there is a possibility that it will be beyond our ability to pay its monthly payment. This would be stupid. Would any of you, including staff, vote for something that might put you out of your home because you cannot afford it? Of course not. The county is diligently working on a plan to build an affordable sewer. We cannot go back to the old Tri-W unaffordable energy hog. There are better systems, and for the sake of the whole state of California, our oceans and aquifers, we beg you to give the county and its wastewater project time to do the right job. If you threaten us with CDOs and CAOs before there is an affordable sewer that we can hook up to, it is like putting the cart before the horse. It doesn't make sense, and it's wrong. Please be patient with the county, and I'm sure you will be pleasantly surprised at how we will all support the right project, which we have never had before. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Mr. Allaby, followed by Mrs. Payne.
Hey, Chris Allaby, Los Osos, CDO number 1019. I see constant referral in your documents to me being responsible for illegal discharging waste, quote unquote, consisting of septic tank discharges into the drinking water aquifer and the Morro Bay estuary. Well, all I did was buy a house. At the time, in 1987, I didn't know a septic tank from an ice cream cone, and neither did our real estate agent. I didn't even know where it was on the property. Next thing I know, we're being warned by a water board to get going or else on a wastewater system, and a CSD was formed. That was in 1990. The community and CSD board decided on a wonderful pond system with parks, bike paths, a recharge system for the lower aquifer, everything but canoe rides. Then after years of this, we find out the water board couldn't approve it for various reasons, and we ended up with a certain faction in the district getting behind a gravity collection system, complete with sludge production and removal, huge trenching problems, damage to the infrastructure, odor problems, etc., at the bargain basement price of $168 million. The citizens would have had to be lunatics to accept a project like this. Even with an SRF loan, the interest costs alone were $22 million over 20 years. Well, the folks backing that catastrophe were voted out of office, along with the plan. And the next thing I know, I'm being persecuted for, and here's the bottom line, buying a house. And the state of California, essentially, is planning to make my house unlivable over a sewer problem I have no control over and should be handed over to the agency that's responsible, namely the county. Mr. Press sees no difference between a CDO and a CAO. If you refer to section 13301.1 of the Water Code, in a nutshell, this is the first sentence. It says, when a regional board finds that a discharge of waste is taking place or threatening to take place, the board may issue a cease and desist order. The regional board shall, not may, render to persons against whom a CDO order is issued, pursuant to this section, all possible assistance in making available current information on successful and economical water quality programs and information and assistance in applying for federal and state funds necessary to comply with the cease and desist order. A CAO does not require that. They don't have to help you at all.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Alvey. Can you wrap it up very quickly?
Okay. No, I just wanted to make note here that I'm a... right now, I'm a fourth-generation home loser. My family in Belgium had their house destroyed. They came over here. When avocados went to 25 cents to crate, they lost the avocado farm, and the 605 freeway got me.
Okay. Thank you for your
I'm
comments.
I'm an expert.
Okay. Mrs. Payne, followed by Bill Moylan. And then Beverly DeWitt Moylan.
I didn't hear if you said Mr. Payne or Mrs. Payne.
I said
Payne.
Mrs. Payne, Antoinette Payne.
She had to leave. She sells real estate for a living.
Go ahead.
The hours she puts in now are unbelievable. Yeah. And the prices of Los Osos have gone in the toilet. And can't even flush it.
Go ahead, Mr. Payne. You have 3 minutes.
Yes. What I want to speak about, probably nobody else will, is evidence. I turned in evidence in April 28th hearing after getting a CDO January 27th or something. I studied everything I could find, and I found a most interesting lawsuit about illegal test wells and the pollution from surface runoff that was going into the groundwater through unsealed test wells. There was an interoffice memo signed by Roger Briggs himself. It wasn't signed by Sorrel Marks or Gerhard Hubner. It was signed by Roger Briggs, and it said that there is some probability of the test wells being polluted by surface runoff. And yet in this prosecution, this group claims they have a great... What was it? A whole bunch of, anyway, valuable resource that says we're polluting the groundwater with our septic tanks. When the evidence comes from fraudulent data collected from polluted test wells with surface runoff. So this whole thing is based on fraud.
Now, I interrupted an ex parte conversation between one of the jurors. I won't mention his name, but he was talking to somebody else during a break, and I said, by the way, did you happen to read the Stillman affidavit? And he says, no, it's been disallowed by Chairman Young, so why should I bother to read it? Well, I said, because it proves that this whole thing is based on fraudulent data, and if you're backing him up, you're committing fraud too. So a lot of this stuff will no doubt come out whenever this reaches a federal court, and those are places where if evidence that is beneficial to the defense, there is case law that the whole thing can be overturned because the defendant was deprived of a legal trial or hearing in this case. So as jurors, I would suggest that you read the Stillman affidavit. It tells about the illegal test wells and Wade Brim's evaluation to the county of them. There's clear up to, I don't know, K or so, A, B, C, D to K of examples in that that should be read. And nothing was done for those test wells until that lawsuit was filed, and then the CSD paid Cleeth and Associates to redrill those wells. Sorrell Marks made the comment the 28th that, oh yes, some of them were destroyed and others were redrilled in the same location. One test well was destroyed and it was not drilled in the same location because they were afraid they would hit the interpacific cable for the telephone. Thank so you. They filled that one with cement.
Thank
the
you,
other
Mr.
one
Pan.
That was
Thank
destroyed was in a deep water aquifer, and that's all that was destroyed. The rest of them were in...
Yeah, thank you for your comments, Mr. Payne.
Yeah, and think about that fraud and what you're depriving the people of the
okay.
evidence.
Mr. Moylan?
My name is Bill Moylan. I am the lucky recipient of a cease and desist order as of today. And before I even start this testimony, I've got to address Mr. Jeffries. When you were commenting about whether you'd read all the material, you did it in an attitude that showed that there was a certain disdain for us, which really bothered me. You can address this later. I want to get this off my chest because it was really an insult to me and my wife. You said you were watching Deal, No Deal.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, you can tell me what you said later. But it really bothered me. We've dealt with this thing for over a year. We put our hearts and souls into it, presenting our evidence, and you were making light of the whole process. Now, in your mind, that's fine. But when you just emblazon the whole community or the whole audience here with this disrespectful attitude towards myself and my wife, it's very upsetting. You know, Fred Astaire said, the higher up you go, the more mistakes you are allowed to make. When you're at the top and you're making lots of mistakes, they just say, it's his style. Well, I hope that your style isn't making mistakes, because it seems to me you've made some grave mistakes in the past year and a half. And a sign of intelligence is in recognizing your mistakes and then not making similar mistakes. It's my fervent hope that the Water Board recognizes that issuing individual CDOs is a mistake. At this time, I'm not saying never, I'm just saying at this time, and decides to allow the county to do its work, to take the county's letter to heart and follow the recommendations in the county's letter to the regional board. As far as CDOs go, or CAOs, if you will, if the RWQCB decides to proceed, then they should follow their own water code enforcement policy and establish similar requirements for all households. Dave Dugan mentioned earlier that there were 5 individual residences cited for cease and desist orders in 2001, and in 2004, they were reviewed in the staff report of May 14th, 2004. And like Dave said, the only requirements of those cease and desist orders were prohibitions against overflow, discharge specifications limiting flow, which I would imagine would be 375 gallons of water, groundwater limitations prohibiting degradation of groundwater, and provisions requiring ongoing system maintenance connection to the community sewer system within 30 days of its availability. There's no drop-dead date. There's no threat of fines. It's a reasonable thing. Are you going to upgrade those so that they get possible fines if there's no sewer by 2011? I don't know, but it would be nice.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Moylan.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Mr. Whit Moylan?
With all due respect, Chairman Young, I learned about cause and effect in infancy, and I know that A leads to B leads to C. And one could call it choice, and one could call it inevitability. When you impose fines that make it impossible for a person to live in their home, when you impose penalties that require a person to cease using the water in their house and therefore not be able to live in their home, and you fail to provide them with an alternative so that they may stay in their home, then to me that is being forced to leave your home. And you can decide where the forcing comes from, but people will be forced to leave their homes. I want to talk to you about my friend Carolyn. She's a brilliant, multi-talented person. She's 68 years old, a retired teacher, looking forward to retirement so that she could do all the things that she had had interests in and worked on all her life. Carolyn developed a degenerative neurological disease that gradually will take away all her function and eventually her life. She's not afraid of that disease. She's a wonderful, strong, courageous person. Right now, she's having problems with muscle functions like walking, writing, swallowing, and speaking. Otherwise, she would be here today to speak for herself. She's not afraid of this disease that's slowly killing her, but she is afraid. She's afraid of RWQCB enforcement that she will be unable to defend herself against. And I'm telling you about Carolyn because Carolyn's just one of the many elderly, disabled, incompetent, fraught with other responsibilities residents of Los Osos who cannot defend themselves against enforcement. And so I'm asking you again to consider, when you think about enforcement, the kinds of enforcement that you are imposing and suggesting were not initially considered for individuals. They were considered for large polluters. Please be considerate of the humanity that you are working with. I sincerely appreciate Dr. Press's comments and his desire and interest in moving toward a more humane solution to this problem. And thank you very much. I know
thank
my time
is up. Thank you for your comments. Mr.